Our topic today is the issue of slichos. Now, slichos is a very challenging topic. What we're going to start out with is asking a number of questions, a number of significant questions. First of all, you ever notice that when is there an obligation to say slichos? Not when we sin. Normally, what would you think slichos is? It's a response to chet, a response to a sin. But that's not when. In fact, you can't even say slichos as an individual. How is that? How do they work if it's something that's only betzibor? It's question number one. Question number two, and I don't mean this to be sacrilegious, but you know, the criticism of the Catholic religion is that the person sins, they say a number of Hail Marys, they give a few alms, and then hocus pocus, their sins forgiven, they're absolved, right? You say 10 Hail Marys, 20 Hail Marys. Well, what is slichos? We sin. Is there a change? Am I acting differently? No, I'm saying slichos, this repetition again and again and again. Look, the Almighty is not deaf. The Almighty can hear it one time, right? We don't say Shema 10 times. Why isn't once enough? Why is this repetition of the slichos? And also, it's almost like an incantation, a chant that we do. We do it quite a few times before Rosh Hashanah. During a Seder Shimei Tshuva, we do it a significant amount of times each and every day. And then on Yom Kippur, specifically called Nidre Night and Ela, that's all it is a repetition of it. It's almost like an incantation. What is that? Very, very disturbing. The source for slichos, of course, well, the source is in the Torah, Parshas Ki Tisa, by the Chet HaEgel. The third ascent that Moshe goes to the mount on Rosh Chodesh Elul, he brings with him the luchos, and God inscribes, the Almighty inscribes in those luchos. So Moshe comes down on Yom Kippur, that very first Yom Kippur. He comes down not only with the luchos, but he comes down with the system of Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. That's the source, was Moshe's third ascent on Har Sinai, the one of the ascent which was the total reconciliation, where the Jewish people were forgiven, and God gave them a system. What does the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah say? And I'm going to quote for a second. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Melamed shenisatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibor veheralola Moshe Seder Tfila. It's called a Seder Tfila. We'll come back to that term. A system of prayer that God showed Moshe. Amarlo, and the Almighty said to Moshe, Kol zman sheYisrael chotin, whenever the Jewish people sin, Ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh v'ani mochel lahem. Ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh v'ani mochel lahem. They should do this, they should conduct themselves this way before me, and I will forgive them. Again, what is that? And just a basic question. It should say, Yomru lefanai. We don't do slichos, we don't act slichos. We articulate, we say, we communicate slichos. What's Ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh v'ani mochel lahem? That's my question. Another question. Where's the bakasha? Where's the petition? We've sinned. We've done something wrong. Wouldn't we come pleading before the Almighty, requesting, engaging the Almighty? Where's the bakasha here? It seems to be a statement. It seems to be a description, so to speak, of the Almighty's actions. You can't say it's a description of God. We cannot describe the Almighty. What we can do is we can say that the actions of Hashem, if he were a person, you'd say this is a sympathetic person, this is a tolerant person, this is a person with tremendous largesse that goes above and beyond the letter of the law. This is an empathetic person. The actions of the Almighty are actions, if the Almighty, which he is not, were a person, they'd say they're the actions of a rachum, of a chanun, of an erech apayim, of a rav chesed, etc. So what is this? Another question. Slichos are meant to be said at night. The Rambam quotes the verse from Eicha. Kumi roni balayla, shifchi kamayim libech nochach p'nei Hashem. Get up, you can't sleep. Arise, get up at night. Pour out your heart before God. Pour out your heart like Niagara Falls. So in general, tefillah is something that we do during the day. The tefillah that we daven at night, ma'ariv, is a reshus. It's something that is a minhag, is a custom we've adopted upon ourselves. But it's not something that inherently is, an, is, the nature of night, night is not a period per se of tefillah. That's primarily during the day. That's why the Birkas Kriya Shema are shorter. That's why you don't have the repetition, because there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation. It's only mitam minhag. So, but yet this is meant to be said at night. Kumi roni balayla. Another question. You look at the structure, okay? You look at the structure of the slichos. You start out with an ashrei, chatzi kaddish. Then you have the slichos in the middle, tachanun, and kaddish shalem. It almost looks and smells and tastes like an amida, like an engagement, a prayer where a person engages the Almighty, goes before God. Ashrei, there's a protocol. But what's missing? You know, where, what the little lady say? Where's the beef, right? In other words, you've got your ashrei, you've got your chatzi kaddish, afterwards you've got your tachanun, you've got your kaddish shalem. Where is the essential core to this? Where is the essential meat and potatoes, the ikar? It looks, it tastes, it smells like tefillah, but is it tefillah? It's another question we ask. So again, let's just review the questions. If slichos is so crucial to the tshuva process, then how come it's not being said? How come it's not being said anytime we sin? After you sin, we know the protocol, charata, remorse, vidui, where we articulate, we bring it into the realm of the concrete, what we've done wrong. Petition, we ask Hashem to forgive us, in Kabbalah al-Asid, and we accept upon ourselves not to do this again. We commit ourselves not to do this again. But there's no slichos when we sin. So how come there's slichos now? Slichos is what you and I associate with Chodesh Elul. It's what you and I associate with Eseres Yemei Tshuva, with the 10 days of repentance. But yet, why isn't it a fixture whenever we sin? Why is it only said B'tzibor? Why doesn't the individual say it? What is this? Some incantation? You know what I mean? That you say it multiple times? Why? Hashem doesn't hear it the first time? Why do you have to say it so many times? What do you accomplish? What's Ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh? They should do this. It should say Yomru. We say slichos. We don't do slichos. It looks, it smells, it tastes. You know, the structure is a structure of tefillah. But yet it's not tefillah. There's no, where's the shevach bakasha hoda'ah? Where's, that's a definition of a tefillah. Shevach, bakasha, hoda'ah, those three components is what defines a tefillah. You don't seem to have that here. So what is it? And then the last question we asked was, why is it at night? You know, if you talking, you know, the day is the day of the avoda. Why at night? If anything, tefillah is something which is limited at night. This is kumi roni balayla. We're going to ask one other question as well. And that's crucial. Let's just define two terms. What is midas hadin, strict objective judgment? And what's midas harachamim, the system, quote-unquote, of compassion or mercy? What's the difference between midas hadin and midas harachamim? What is the difference between those two? Okay, that's the next question. So before we answer most of the questions, we're going to have to define midas hadin and midas harachamim. We're also going to have to define the system of hashgacha pratis. There's two definitions we're going to have to give first and foremost before we can go forward. Midas Hadin essentially is this. The term Elohim or Midas Hadin is used with the creation. It's a system of cause and effect. It's a system of physics, of chemistry, of biology. It's a system of science. How God created the world, the scientific world. I want to apologize. What I said was incorrect. That's Hashgacha Klalis. General providence is the scientific world. Okay? There's something called gravity. If I drop something that has mass, the gravitational force is going to pull it downward. That's the system of Hashgacha Klalis, general providence. Then there's a system called Hashgacha Pratis, specific providence. What's the difference between specific providence and general providence? Specific providence within the system of general providence. God will, so to speak, the Almighty, the Ribono Shel Olam, manipulate is the wrong word, but within the system, God, the Almighty can change things. He can change, he can engage for the benefit of this one to the detriment of that one. Give an example of Hashgacha Pratis. According to Hashgacha Klalis, the army that has better weaponry and more soldiers and the high ground is going to win the war. Because they have better weaponry, they have more soldiers, and they have the high ground. Hashgacha Pratis is that because of God's involvement in history, involvement in the affairs of humankind, this underarmed, outmanned, in a weak position, this army could win. And likewise, when things are done for an individual under Hashgacha Pratis, the example being Moshe, the Eser Makos that were done for Moshe on behalf of the Jewish people, etc. That's Hashgacha Pratis, specific providence, where God is Mashgiach. He oversees and he takes care of an individual, where he may change or manipulate the events of general providence for the benefit of an individual. Now, we have a bris, a covenant, and three examples that reflect this covenant are the Tochacha in Parshas Bichukosai, the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, and the second paragraph of Shema that we say every morning and every evening. They reflect the fact that part of the covenant of the Torah, when we engaged in this two-way relationship between the Almighty and the Jewish people, part of the system of the Torah is that the Jewish nation, Klal Yisrael is under Hashgacha Pratis, they're under specific providence. It's not the law of the jungle. It's not just the law of nature and science. But the Jewish people are under the system of specific providence. And sometimes when we are in a position of strength, but we are corrupt, the Almighty will do certain things to chastise us, to steer us, to direct us. And sometimes, when we are the weak, the meek, the downtrodden, but we are leading a functional life, a perfected life, the Almighty will do things for our benefit. It's always for our benefit. Sometimes it is something which we perceive as very harsh and very difficult. Sometimes it's something we perceive as great generosity and great largesse. But the covenant says that the tzibor, the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael, is always under the Hashgacha. That's not per se true of an individual. An individual has no covenant, has no guarantee that they are under Hashgacha Pratis. The Rambam says this in many places. He says this in the Mora Nevuchim and Hilchos Tshuva. The Ramban says this in Parshas Vayera, when he speaks about Avraham Avinu being under the Hashgacha Pratis. The Tziporno says this, the last Tziporno in Parshas Tazria, speaking about why it is that we don't get Tzaraas today. Consistently throughout the Rishonim, you will see that the principle of Hashgacha Pratis is not a given, it's not a guarantee to the individual. There are individuals under Hashgacha, according to the Rambam, when they're in a great degree of perfection, moral and ethical perfection and intellectual perfection. That was the case with Moshe, that was the case with Avram. And Hashgacha Pratis, specific providence for the individual, is not an all or nothing issue. It's not all or nothing. A person can be under different degrees of Hashgacha Pratis. We use a system of tefillah, we use a system of Torah to perfect and transform ourselves, that we are, that ultimately a more perfected human being, a more pious, perfected, thoughtful human being, sophisticated human being, is under a different hashgacha than a human being that conducts himself like the other species. Just to give an example, if the lion slept for 20 hours, now he wakes up and he's hungry, and the monkey happens to be swinging from a tree, when a lion goes and grabs that monkey and eats him, that monkey is not under specific providence. That monkey happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's general providence. The lion was hungry, the monkey happens to be there. We don't say that that was specific providence. If the lion's not hungry because the monkey was just an appetizer, wasn't the main course, and he goes out on the prowl and he gets a baby zebra, who's not as swift and not as strong to avoid him the way the adult zebras can, it's not specific providence. That's the laws of nature, of physics, of chemistry, of biology. if a human being acts like the zebra or the monkey, and I don't mean, I'm not here to make a judgment call, but if they conduct themselves, that human being is under hashgacha klalis, under the laws of chemistry, biology, and physics. Chemistry, biology, physics, our genetics, etc., the weather. But that human being is not guaranteed or under hashgacha pratis. However, insofar as a human being perfects themselves to differing degrees, a human being may be under the system of specific providence. That's very crucial to know that distinction. Hashgacha pratis does not apply to the nations, it applies to the Jewish nation. Hashgacha pratis does not necessarily apply to human beings, it applies to a human being that is extremely perfected and refined. Point number one. Point number two is Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim. What bothers us about Midas Harachamim? Imagine a human judge, okay? You come in front of the judge, you're a defendant, you're guilty. You were wrong, you damaged someone, you hurt someone, you were dishonest. But the judge knows your grandfather. Your grandfather looked after that judge. That judge was a poor kid. He gave him a job. He put him through law school. He set him up for his first position out of law school. Your grandfather was a great man, was a wonderful man. You stink. You're a criminal. You're dishonest. You're going to come in front of the judge. And the judge is going to remember your grandfather. And he's going to give you a very, very unfair sentence, meaning a very beneficial sentence to you. That's a corruption of justice. Because it's wonderful if you're the beneficiary of that. But let me ask you something. What about the people you wronged? What about the people you offended, you hurt, you violated? They're going to say that this judge is corrupt. He's taken his own personal subjective biases and he's corrupted and perverted the judicial system. It's unethical. It's immoral. It's one thing if you have a chance to change, but if it strictly is a function of who your grandfather was? So let me ask you, how does the Midas HaRachamim work with the Almighty? What, because Abraham and Sarah were our progenitors? Or because we come from a pious lineage? If we're corrupt, if we're dishonest, if we're callous, and mean, or brazen, arrogant, what, because we have great ancestors, so the Almighty should manipulate and pervert justice for us? We would despise that from a human judge. That's what we're asking the Almighty for? Is that how the Midas HaRachamim works? No. That's not the Midas HaRachamim. The Midas HaDin is objective justice. What's objective justice? If something does not function in line with its nature, if something fails or corrupts itself or perverts itself, it's not functioning in line with its nature. So it's removed. Death is a consequence to something that is dysfunctional. Punishment is a consequence to something that is dysfunctional because it corrupted, it perverted itself. Midas HaDin, you function in line with your nature. I'm going to use an analogy before we go back to Midas HaRachamim. If you buy an automobile, the purpose of an automobile is to get you from point A to point B. If it can't function, you don't want a big piece of metal, a hunk of metal standing blocking up your driveway. It's got to function. Same thing with a stereo system. You love Mozart, you love Tchaikovsky, so you get a Bose surround sound system. Now it doesn't work. You have no interest in having a bunch of boxes sticking out of the walls of your apartment or your home. If it provides surround sound system and it creates the atmosphere of a symphony, then it's functioning. If not, it's not going to stay there for naught. It's dysfunctional. But let's use the example of the automobile or the Bose system. In that scenario, you get two options when it's not working. Midas HaDin says it's dysfunctional. Junk it. Get rid of it. Trash it. But there's a second option. The second option is you can repair it. You can get it to function in line with its nature. If you fix the automobile, if you fix the stereo system, and now it's functioning, so that was the second option. You can trash it or you can fix it. So use that, and now let's go back. Let's turn back to where we were. Okay? Let's turn back to where we were. There's something called, by a human being, a Midas HaRachamim. It's a great chesed on behalf of the Almighty. It's chesed elyon. That when we corrupt ourselves, Hashem gave us time. He gave us talents. He gave us abilities. He gave us the ability to make this world a better place, to improve our family, our people, our humanity. And we wasted it. We trashed it. The gift of speech we used to hurt and to wound people. We didn't use the gift of speech to build up people and to heal people. Same thing with our wealth. As a portfolio manager, it's not our money. It's not my assets. God gave me the opportunity to invest those assets. And I didn't. I wasted it. I wasted the time that he gave me on this earth. I wasted my talents, my IQ. Midas Hadin says, that's it. I don't function in line with my nature. I corrupted myself. I should be smashed. I should be destroyed. Because I'm a perverted, corrupted being. What's the Midas HaRachamim? Midas HaRachamim is when God gives us the opportunity, Hashem gives us the opportunity to come before him. And with a system of repairing ourselves, of transforming ourselves, of perfecting ourselves, of correcting ourselves. The system of tshuva, where we function in line with our nature, we function in line with our abilities, our talents, with the opportunities that he gave us. That's the Midas HaRachamim. It's no different than the stereo system or the automobile. Midas Hadin says it's dysfunctional, that's it, over. Midas HaRachamim says, let's come up with a way of making it functional once again. And we use the system of tefillah, of prayer, the system of tshuva. That's the system of the Midas HaRachamim. So that's very important to understand. It's not some hocus pocus. We need to know the difference between Hashgacha Pratis, vis-a-vis the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish nation, as opposed to an individual. We need to know the difference between Midas Hadin and Midas HaRachamim, and how Midas HaRachamim works. With those two crucial introductions, we can answer the questions. What are slichos? When the tzibur is in a state of crisis, and look at the Rambam Hilchos Ta'anis. The Rambam Hilchos Ta'anis talks about this. It's predicated upon Parshas Bechukosai, the Tochacha, the response to crisis. Crisis could be the crops, the economy, could be a state of war, could be disease, famine. The crisis that we're dealing with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time is having to stand in judgment. The crisis of being omeid lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no human being wants to be judged. No human being wants to have to stand alone to be judged before the Almighty. We give this description, kivnei maron. You look in Unasana Tokef, which is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and you look at Midrashim and the images we have. You know, animals, they function, they travel in flocks. They travel in a herd. No one wants to be separated from the herd or the flock. They get seized with fear. I know this on our farm. When we would ship heifers down to Georgia and Florida, so you have to take them into the corral, separate them from the herd, give vaccines, do tests on the animal, and they get very spooky and they get traumatized. Why? That's the nature of the animal. So to use that imagery, we don't want to be isolated, to have to stand alone before the Almighty on Judgment Day, to have to give an accounting for how we've corrupted and perverted the very talents and gifts that we have. No human being can stand in judgment before the Almighty. To see the video, the DVD playing our life in front of us, and all the duplicity and the arrogance and the corruption. No human being wants to do that. So sometimes the crisis that affects the people could be a famine, a disease, a war. Sometimes the crisis is having to stand in judgment before the Almighty. And we respond to a state of crisis. The Jewish people are under specific providence, and we respond. And if we respond in a proper way, if we use that as a catalyst to transform ourselves, to improve ourselves, if that's the case, then we are a different Jewish people, or a different nation. And by definition, being under Hashgacha Pratis, if we are a transformed, a better, a more capable people, if we're under, then we're worthy of a different response. What happens? In this state of crisis, we employ the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. It's only for the Tzibor. Why is it only for the Tzibor? The reason it's only for the Tzibor is because the Tzibor, by definition, is under Hashgacha Pratis. By definition, inherently, the entity of Klal Yisrael is under specific providence. And therefore, this is the response. Bris Krusa Lefanai, the Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Beis. It's a covenant that if we respond, and what does that mean, if we respond? It doesn't just mean saying it. We don't believe in incantations. You can't push the right buttons with God and He responds. You know, you say enough Hail Marys and then it's all forgiven. It's not forgiven unless you've changed. It's not forgiven unless you're a different person. What does it mean? What did Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Beis, what did he mean, Ya'asu Lefanai? Not Yomru, just to say it, but Ya'asu Lefanai. What did he mean by that? What he meant was the following. Why do we say it again and again and again and again? It's like a battering ram. We focus on those ideas. We, by saying it, we become people who have rachmanis. What is a rachum? A rachum is, we translate it as sympathy. We internalize those values. Mahu rachum, afata rachum. The halachta bidrachav, to walk in God's ways. These are, so to speak, the actions of God. If God were a human being, which He's not, we would describe Him as a sympathetic, an empathetic, a tolerant, etc., etc. So by talking and discussing and analyzing and articulating these values, we try to become, as a people, sympathetic human beings, empathetic human beings. What is sympathy? I have not lost a child, thank God, I have not lost a child. So I could never put myself into the shoes of a human being who's had to bury a child. But I have to be able to feel for them. I have to be sensitive to them. Even though I can't feel, I can't put myself in their shoes, there has to be a profound sense of sympathy and feeling. What is chanun? I've been there. I have gone through what you're going through. The fact that I've been there means I can relate to you and I have to be able to reach out to you. Your sense of being alone and being broken and hurt. What is erech apayim, tolerant? The Almighty's waited 2 millennia now, almost 2 millennia, for the Jewish people to get our act together, to transform and perfect ourselves. If Hashem can have patience, we have to have patience one for another. There has to be a sense of tolerance and patience. It has to define the personality. Rav Chesed. What is Rav Chesed? You go above and beyond. Chassid means someone goes above and beyond the letter of the law. I don't just treat you the way technically you deserve to be treated. I go above and beyond the letter of the law. That's the way the Almighty treats us. We internalize that value. What's Ya'asu Lefanai? By saying it and analyzing it and discussing it and articulating it again and again and again, we try to internalize. The actions shape our character. And we internalize that. And we use these values and these principles to define what kind of human beings we are. What kind of, not only as individuals, what kind of a people we should become. That's a Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Why at night? Because when a person is in a state of crisis, you can't sleep at night. And by the way, when does pain affect someone the most? At night. It's true with physical pain. During the day, you suppress it. During the day, you know, you ignore it. Things are happening. Things are busy. Your mind's off of it. It's true with emotional pain. Someone suffering from a broken relationship. Someone suffering from the loss of a loved one. When you're there alone, amishka vos balayla, you can't sleep. You can't sleep because you're so distraught, you're so bothered by the state, you know, by the state of corruption, that you get up, we get up and we plead before the Almighty. We pour out our heart, we open ourselves up, because at night you don't suppress it, you don't squelch it, you're not busy, you can focus on it. And it should bother you. You should lose sleep over it. Kumi roni balayla, shivchi kamayim libechi, pour out your heart like water. But again, it's only the tzibor. It's only the tzibor. It's not an incantation. It's something that we get up at night because we lose sleep over it, because it should bother us. And it does bother us. An individual, there's no bris krusa lefanai. There's no guarantee for an individual. I'll give you an analogy. You know, look at the ashamnus. When we say the personal vidui, the personal confession. We've been duplicitous, we've been corrupt, we've lied, we've been arrogant, we've wasted and destroyed our talents. We're standing there, subrach neyid, bent over, broken, beating our chest, crying. What happens when we do it as a community? We chant it, we sing it out loud, ashamnu, bagadnu. What is that? I mean, translate that. You got a bunch of people singing triumphantly, "We're a bunch of liars. We're duplicitous. We've wasted everything you've given us." I mean, can you imagine that? We're singing that. Why are we singing that out loud? And that tune is a very old tradition. We have a Masorah, a tradition that goes all the way back to the early Rishonim. What's the idea? The idea is this, that as a community, we have a covenant. We have a covenant that if we engage in a transformation, if we engage in a catharsis, we are guaranteed. We are under Hashgacha Pratis. No such guarantee by the individual. No such guarantee. A person could be extremely perfected, but there's no such guarantee. When calamity happens to an individual, it's always the right thing to be introspective, to let that lead to tshuva. Why? Because mima makim kerasicha Hashem. Because your walls have come crumbling down. And in the fact that you're not so confident, you can look at yourself openly, honestly. But that's a good idea. That's the Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei. It's a very good idea. And Chazal are giving us great insight and great advice. But what the Rambam is saying and what the Torah says in Bichukosai is that when it happens to the tzibor, that's the whole basis of Masechtah Tanis in the Gemara. When it happens to the tzibor, it's not just a good idea. The tzibor is under specific providence. There's a reason it's happening, and it demands of us a response. It demands of us a transformation, an improvement. It's not by accident. It's not bi'akrai. It's not bikeri. That's the idea of the tzibor being under Hashgacha Pratis. And how does the tzibor relate? When the tzibor is flawed, how do we relate to the Almighty? That was the system that God gave on the third ascent of the Mount. When Moshe comes down Yom Kippur, not just with the Luchos Shnios, the second tablets, he comes down with this system, with this methodology of when the Jewish people are in a state of crisis, is a function of what? Is a function of their corruption or their mistakes or their flaws. There's a system for the Jewish people to engage the Almighty, to repair themselves, to improve themselves. That is the system of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachimim. That's the system of the Slichos. That's why it's Bitzibor. And that's the system of the Midas HaRachamim. It's not a hocus pocus. It's not an incantation. It's a system of us, first and foremost, transforming our personalities, transforming our attitudes, our perspectives. And then that translates into changing our actions. Doesn't it seem to look, taste, and smell like tefillah? Yeah, it does look, taste, and smell like tefillah, but it's not tefillah. It's called Seder tefillah, but it's not tefillah. It's an idea of, Rabbi Zucker taught this to me, it's a state of being lifnei Hashem. Slichos are the tzibor being lifnei Hashem. What does that mean, lifnei Hashem? Before God. You don't just show up at God's door. You don't just say, hey, I'm here. There's a protocol. The protocol is the shevach at the beginning, ashrei, in the morning, the expanded shevach of psukei zimra. Then you go before Hashem, and you don't just walk away and say, oh, it's good talking to you. No, you withdraw, you retreat with a tachanun. And in a Kaddish Shalem, there's a protocol, there's a system to go lifnei Hashem. One way we go lifnei Hashem, as individuals and as a community, as a tzibor, is the system of tefillah. Tefillah is amida lifnei Hashem. We stand and we worship before Hashem. There's another modality of going lifnei Hashem, going before God, approaching God, confronting God. It's not through tefillah, which is what we're used to all year long. It's the Seder HaSlichos. It's the Seder HaSlichos, that when there's a crisis, when there's a flaw, when there's a corruption, and we need to look deep down at ourselves, and we need to come to Hashem, looking to change, looking to improve, looking to transform. Slichos is not just part of the response to sin. Response to sin is tshuva. Slichos is response to a crisis. Yes, very often, what caused the crisis? It was the corruption of the community that causes the crisis. But it's our response to a crisis. And we're not just talking about, oh, well, we'll change this particular, you know, I'll do this differently. No, no, no. It has to go to the very core and the very fiber of who we are, to the core and the fiber of the personality. Usually a corrupt action is a function of a flaw in the personality. Arrogance, callousness, smugness, insensitivity, whatever it may be. And that's what the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim responds to. It's the people who are under the hashgacha employing the midas harachamim. But only the people who have that bris krusa lefaneh, who are guaranteed that they're under the hashgacha, only they can employ that. There's no such guarantee to the individual. We explained why at night. We explained why the repetition and why it's not an incantation. We explained why Rabbi Yochanan says ya'asu lefanai in the Gemara, not yomru. It's not an incantation. Ya'asu becomes internalized and acted out. And we explained it's not tefillah. It's lifnei Hashem. It's going before God for a different purpose, not for the purpose of prayer, but for the purpose of tshuva, of transformation, of undoing the corruption. So there's a protocol before you go lifnei Hashem, and we employ that protocol. But it's a different lifnei Hashem than tefillah. And we explained why betzibur, and we defined what the difference between the midas hadin is and the midas harachamim, and how the midas harachamim works. It's not some hocus pocus. Oh no, it's not some whimsical corruption of justice. No, it's a system within justice. It's an absolute chesed because you're not. Who says you're guaranteed that? But it's an opportunity to repair and correct and perfect the flaws that existed to make us in line with our nature. And that's what we're employing here. You see from Slichos, as we see across the board, every Jew exists on two planes. We're individuals. We have an individual, personal, special, unique relationship with God. But at the same time, we're part of a community, a covenantal community, a people, a nation. And that nation has its own identity. That nation has its own existence. That nation has its own relationship, above and beyond my individual, personal relationship. And every Jew, by definition, has a dual personality. I'm part of the covenantal community, and I'm an individual. And each Jew relates to God through both modalities, through both vehicles. The nation is under Hashgacha Pratis. By definition, the individual, to a lesser or more degree, is a function of their perfection. And just where we're going to end is, the Gemara says, Tamas Chusavos, the merit, the benefit from our progenitors, that's over. So that's Tama. But what's Kayam? What exists? Bris Avos, the covenant. The covenant exists. What's the covenant? Insofar as I partake of the covenant, insofar as I relate to the covenant and I take on the responsibilities of the covenant, a covenant is a two-way relationship. And if we want the Almighty to play His role in the covenant, we have to play our role. So there is no Schus Avos, Tama Schus Avos. You don't, because your grandfather was and your grandmother were Avram and Sarah, doesn't get you a pass if you're corrupt, if you're perfected. That's whimsical, that's not just. But there's a bris avos. The blessing is that we have them as role models, and we have a covenant that they engaged in that we are part of and that we are responsible to live up to. And that's part of what we do as well through the system of Slichos. I want to wish everyone a very meaningful and a very powerful experience throughout saying Slichos, throughout the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And ultimately, as a people, as a nation, and as individuals, we can repair, perfect ourselves, lead a life in line with our nature, which will make the world a better place, that will make our people a better place, and that will make us as individuals, the kind of individuals that we have the potential to be. Thank you.